management. So it was a pretty, it was a really rough ride. But what I do want to say, whoever, if someone's thinking and going through similar, is make sure that your voice is heard. Because what I did was, like, I was scared.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Zainab Canoe Show, where we empower motherless daughters to change, to grow, and to heal. My name is Zainab, and I am your host. Thank you for joining me. If this is your first time, please make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Instagram, and join our Facebook support group at the Zainab Canoe Show. For my returners, thank you so much for trusting me and giving me a second chance. I am a motherless daughter due to toxic and non-existent relationship with my mother. And I have gone from broken to blissful and from pain to purpose. Yes, let me show you how you can remother yourself. Hello.
Like doing a little party here. Hold on. Oh, I'm with Janet Jackson.
I want to thank you for your patience. This is not a norm.
My pleasure.
I don't know what happened with the internet. An hour ago, I got everything ready, made sure my login, everything was good. And I just said, let me just relax. Everything is good. Uh-huh. And then as soon as it was like 4:58, I was like, what is happening here?
It's okay. You know what? Now we're good. Last time I felt so bad. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know we scheduled something. So don't worry about it. What's most important is you're healthy. I'm healthy. We're having a good conversation. I think that is gold.
Yes. How are you?
I'm good. I've been excited.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait for you to like teach us how to be unapologetically you, because it is very hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you are able to accomplish that. I didn't read your answers because I like, when I'm interviewing people, I like to be authentic. I like to be a conversational flow, and I don't want to know before. I like, you know, when I send those questions, I just want for the guests to be thinking about, okay,
yeah,
so what, this is what I'm going to be talking about, just to kind of get a feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm just like really excited.
Me too. You know, we go with what your spirit, the whole spirit, the universe is putting us, and let's just go.
Just go with that. Well, you know what? I want you to kind of tell us a little bit about you. I know that you did the Bob Proctor class, and you're all about finances, because that's what it's about. And I did try to take the class, and it was like at 12 a.m. and I fell asleep. I tried to get in. And I was like, I can't, you know, are they gonna have another time? But that was the time, it was like automatic. So I have
the only time. Okay, I'll let them know.
I'll let them be more flexible.
It should have more time, but it's okay. We could cover some, you know, in our session. It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us about you.
I'm sorry, go on.
Tell us about you, what you stand for. What is your mission currently? Who are you?
So you were saying that Bob Proctor said, yeah, I am a student of his. I'm his certified consultant into this program called Thinking to Results. Okay. So I just wanted to have, you know, and I'll go into that later, but that is basically what had changed my life. I would say my purpose and vision right now is to help people get unstuck, because for my whole life, I've been stuck for 36 years. And I think it wasn't until, because, you know, you have to go through the lows to get to the highs, right? So it wasn't until I went to my divorce and coming with the fall of a startup that I co-founded and was very instrumental in raising money. So everything just kind of clashed around me. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, I got into depression. You know, I was going to therapy after therapy. I was prescribed with Xanax and Lexapro and Prozac. And that wasn't the solution. That was a Band-Aid. Yeah. And then I kept looking. I kept looking for what that solution was and who I was.
Right.
Right. And I have a son. And he was my seed of hope. Like, I had that seed of finding the solution because I keep telling myself I have to get back up. Because what I teach him is every time when he falls, since he was a one-year-old, I'll be like, what do you do when you fall? I get right back up. So I was like, I have to do this. I would say my ex-husband now, he's at a very good place now. But I think we were young. And he married me off of the principle that he could change me. So, you know, for a very long time, I was like, who am I? You know, and it was always an inner battle. We went to marriage counseling until the marriage dissolved. And then I was really forced to look at who I am, you know, and not only how to learn how to deal with the critical voice inside myself, which I know everyone has their own critical voice, right? If you put a microphone to your head, you'll be surprised at what you will say to yourself, you know? But also, you know, cause I was in a marriage where I was always told what to do. And there is a lot, you know, I would say, I'll just be very blunt. I think it's a lot of the Asian culture. He was Korean and I'm Chinese. So even within the Asian culture, there's still a cultural difference within the two Asian culture, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So that was very, I look back now, I'm actually really grateful I went through it, because if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have my growth.
Wow.
And really like have that desire. Cause you know, after I came out alone, my divorce was very amicable. There's no child support, no alimony, no nothing. Cause I banked on myself. I was like, you know what? I am going to rebuild and I'm going to trust that I'm going to be able to do that. But I also knew by doing that, the most important thing I had to do is find myself and who I am mm-hmm. and my life purpose and vision. That was the most important thing. Because if I don't have that, I don't have a solid rock. I'm just kind of shifting around, being very reactive. Basically, I felt like that's what I was doing. Even when I was working in the entertainment industry. So that's kind of, I could keep going on and on and on, but I figured you tell me, you want me to go, I could go if you want me to.
So listen, I do not, I like to allow people to talk. I give them their space.
Okay.
So I don't like to interrupt people because I don't know what you're going to say that's going to impact someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't feel any kind of way to be like you have to say things perfectly or do things perfectly. You just have to be you.
And oh, just I love that.
From an authentic space, because mm-hmm. I want the audience, they are going through very devastating, painful, just a lot of, you know, that's feeling stuck space and not mm-hmm. knowing what to do. Feeling like they're not enough. So it might just be one thing that you say that will be an aha moment for someone. Mm. And I don't want to take that away from them.
Yeah. That's so good. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, you know, I just want to kind of elaborate on just a little bit about your marriage, because that is literally the foundation of you saying, this is not me. It was in that space that you realized, this is not me. I could be more, but how do I go about doing that? So when you were in that space and you felt that, and you decided to take that step, tell me what that process was like.
It was hard. It was really hard. I think I tried to make the marriage work because we have a child, and I came from a broken family, and my dad left. So I never had a dad. So that was always like, my whole life was like the family's most important thing to me. But I think what I've learned now, looking back, I was driven by fear. You know, I walked into the marriage by fear. I made a lot of decisions, right? So I'll give you a perspective. And this is something I hope a lot of girls would hear and resonate, because self-love is really important. I was with my ex-husband for a very long time, and we still have an amicable relationship because we decided to put resentment aside and focus on co-parenting, being good friends to our son. We love him too much. So I just want to make sure that's there. There's no resentment, no nothing. It's just the story that has happened.
Right.
You know, we walked in, and it's both things, because like he had an anger issue. And I always knew that, and I was fearful, but we were together for a very long time, and I was probably 28, 29. And society tells me that this is the time you need to get married, or else you're getting old. But now I'm looking back, I'm like, that is nothing. I'm like turning 37 next month, I mean, in August, you know? Like, looking back, I would be like, girl, take your time. You are in no rush. But again, maybe it's a culture, it's a society. I feel like, you know, even though I knew there would be problems in the marriage, I walked into it thinking, oh, I'm going to make this work. Because, you know, like, love is blind, right? When you love someone, you just want to make it work. And I will tell you, we both did. We went through marriage counseling. We went through everything. We tried. A lot of pain came. And this is when we both had a lack of awareness. You know, when he lost his job, he was in finance, and he was, you know, he gave up. I thought he was very generous to give up his dream career, which is real estate, to do finance so he could take care of his family. Me, and I was pregnant at the time. So it's a new family. We were living the, you know, American dream, I guess. On paper, it looked good. On paper, our resume looks good. What I was doing, what he was doing, our income looks good. We bought beautiful house in Glendale, which is like center of LA. You know, everything just looked good. But when he lost his job, everything just kind of crumbled, and he went to depression. Domestic violence came with that. Like, yeah, that's actually one of the number one causes of domestic violence is when the husband loses their job. Because what happens is their ego, their self-esteem, their, you know, what society see of them is all got disrupted. So a lot of men would turn into alcohol and drugs and take on the wife. So, you know, we did get into that, but we did try to work it out, mm-hmm. You know, like therapy, anger management. So it was a really rough ride. But what I do want to say, whoever, if someone's thinking and going through similar, is make sure that your voice is heard. Because what I did was, like, I was scared. I was just scared, you know. And what happened is, you know, I was, so I read Think and Grow Rich. That's a really amazing book. I know you can see it on my social media. Yeah. And there it says, there is a section that lays out the 13 reasons why people are successful and not successful. And one of the reason, and the 13 reasons why people are not successful, is there's two that highlighted to me. One was you're in an unharmonic marriage, right? Because if you're not in a harmonic marriage, you can't go out and do anything. Because what happened with me and him was, you know, we had too much coming up at the same time. Engagement, marriage, baby, big house, renovation on a big house, big job, the fall of a big job, right? So everything just came really fast and fell really fast. And we didn't even know how to communicate. So it became a thing where we can't talk to each other. When he goes out and do something, he doesn't feel like he has my support, and vice versa. So it was really hard to communicate on a very deep level. And when we finally learned how to, we finally had the awareness that we have to look within ourselves, that you know, like how we are, our paradigm is a multitude of habits and ideas. How we became who we are is all of our upbringings, and we are two complete different culture blending together. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. Right. So we worked on that, you know. And the thing is, like, in our relationship, it was so volatile. Like, when he was going through his thing, in my job at that time, what I should have done, this is a mistake I made. What I should have done is have the compassion for him and be there for him and make no criticism and just make sure that he is okay. Right. Cause that's what, like, how society look at women, how we need to look thin or beautiful, whatever. Men, it's their job. It's if they have the ability to provide, you know. For me at the time, I was very angry because a lot of things were taken out on me. I was trying to figure out my career. Cause I was like, you know, if I could get my business going, then he doesn't have to worry about work. So I try to be a man when I'm a woman. That was the problem, you know, because like, but I, looking back, if I could redo it, I would just be there for him. But because of that, created friction, and then I end up getting something going, and I end up getting a pretty high salary executive job. And I think what happened was his self-esteem started to go down. So it was this constant, you know, battle. And then that home, it was not a sacred place anymore. It's like after I work, and I was in entertainment, so long hour days. So I would come home, and before I come home, I would just sit in my car for an hour, you know? Yeah, I would just sit, because it's like going home feels like you're walking into a battle, you know? So I was driven by a lot of fear. So that's the personal thing. Even the career, that was the same thing. I was in a entertainment movie business. I initially got in because I wanted to use the movie to find my father. It wasn't because like, oh, I want to be all glamorous. This is back in the days. This is before the Google, before the ancestry.com. It was the MySpace, a Friendster MySpace days.
You know, that's way
ancient.
Back.
That's ancient. Yeah. So I was like, I want to go into movies because I thought, not knowing how the business worked, I was like, if I get my name on the title of a movie, I could find my dad. You know, so, and I found out somehow he was probably in China because he got married. So I have built a movie career in Hollywood, but also dealt a lot with mainland China back then because there was a lot of Chinese investments, big movies, and then all the big movies raising money. So I got myself to Asia, and then I networked myself into people that knew the police departments there to find a record, and they couldn't find him. And then I found him through ancestry.com. Yeah, it was great. The point is, you know, like after I completed my purpose of being in the film industry, when I continued the entertainment journey, what I find myself is I was also reactive. It was like, oh, you're doing this. Maybe you should do this. You can look at this instead of being very grounded. So, you know, it really just makes you have a hard look at yourself, right? Not just like the marriage I was in. Why did I walk into it when I knew it wasn't going to work out at the very beginning, even when we got engaged, but I walked into it anyways because I was scared. And then for the business, you know, for just being in our entertainment industry for a long time, what I was doing was I was just kind of going with the flow and being reactive with whatever opportunity that came, I'll just take it, you know, versus of what I want to do until when everything crashed and the divorce, the business fell, I had my first legal lawsuit, the divorce happened, like all this, I went into depression. Then that's when you have to really take a hard look on what is life? You know, why are people successful and why am I not? What am I doing wrong? And I just started to look for answers. I did everything. I went through the, let's watch the motivational videos. Let's go to all these conferences. Let's do the support group. Let's therapy. At one point I thought I was going to go back to get my master's in psychology. Cause I was like, I was so determined to fix myself. Wow. Yeah. When I was at my lowest of the low, I went to it's a mental hospital, but it's an outpatient program. So it's volunteered. I call it the very expensive rehab for depressants, for depressed people. In a nutshell, that's basically what it is. Okay. I'm like, I don't care about the fancy terms. That's what it is. You go there, people are depressed. You have all kinds of people. We're all trying to get out of the hole. So I went through that whole thing and I was trying to look for the antidote. Because what happened was when I was going through these journeys, what was helpful was the doctors were able to tell me what's wrong with me. I lived in fear. I have abandonment issues. So I got all the problems I have. Gotcha. I'm like, how do I get from A to Z? You know, I couldn't get that answer. Right. Until I started to become one of Bob's students and I went through his training to become one of his certified consultants because he really gave the solution to, you know, to basically what it is, reprogram your brain, take you out from who you were to who you want to be, and then start believing yourself to who you are, you know, and then you just start, oh, I'm having the chills. You just start, go to the goal. And everything has to start with a life purpose and value and vision. If it doesn't align, then it just becomes a job that you're just going to kind of go one and you just don't have, you're not inspired, you're not excited, you know. And I know we talked, you just said about the money. So he has a lot of courses on money, like The Science of Getting Rich or You Were Born Rich. But really, if you listen to his teaching, money is energy. Right, you look at money, it's a servant.
I saw that on YouTube.
Right? Yeah, you saw that. So, you know, one of the things that I was very gung-ho on figuring out when I was going through my divorce, because I knew to be a very amicable breakup, we just went separate ways, was I need to figure out my financial intelligence, both from the actual financial planning, you know, to the mindset, because I my ex-husband was in finance, so I relied on him a lot of that. And now fast forward, now that I'm alone and when I have a child, I told myself I'm going to be his role model. I'm going to have my stuff together. I told myself I'm going to be that mom that has my stuff together, that still provides a good family, a good environment, and you know, teach him and raise him to be a amazing, healthy, good human being to society. You know, I was not going to be that crazy mom that was just going to be depressed and yelling and food stamps and you know what I mean, right? So that was my goal. Yeah.
I really want to applaud you for being vulnerable right now and just talking. I mean, you hit so many things that are so vital in a lot of people's lives. I mean, having to find your father, going through divorce, dealing with some legal issues. I cannot imagine all of that coming down at the same time is very stressful. I know your father was a little bit earlier from what you were explaining, but if we don't deal with stuff like that, it leaves a residue that manifests in a lot of ways. And one of the manifestation is you getting into a marriage, knowing that it's not a healthy environment for you.
Yeah.
And that you are not going to, you know, you are not going to be successful in that. But there's something that you said that was like an aha moment for me, which is you and your partner have to be in harmony in order for you to create a legacy.
Yes.
And if that is not established, it doesn't matter how much income you have, you both have individually, the chances of you creating a legacy is very slim because you're not on the same wave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was just like, I'm sure a lot of people are dealing with that. Yeah. I know personally, when my husband, like we are from the same culture.
Mm-hmm.
But I came here as a youngin', as you know, I was like 14. Mm-hmm. So my thought process is not African at all. I barely think like that, you know, mm-hmm. and he wants me to think like someone that grew up in my country. But that's not my life experience. I don't know anything about those women, the walk that they had and how they, you can't expect me to think like that when I came here at a young age, you know? So when you were talking about that, I was like, oh my gosh, is she talking about my life? You know, it's so crazy. We're literally like the same age. I just turned 37 in February. So, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm just like, wow. Every time I interview someone, it's like, I always thought I was the only one with these issues and these concerns. And then when I interview someone and then they start speaking, I'm like, oh, so I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I feel like my husband, it's a battle that we're currently having because he wants me to be a certain way. And I don't know how to be that. I don't know how to, I'm very free spirited. I'm very, you know, if you do something to me, I don't like holding grudges. So I'm going to tell you in that moment and I'm done, you know, but he's more like coaxing type of person. He doesn't want to hurt someone's feelings. And I like to address things. Like, I don't like things lingering for me. That doesn't work. Like that gray area is just lingering. I feel like, why don't we just talk about it? And then if I'm wrong, I apologize. And if you're wrong, then we talk about it and see how we, I feel like that's going to, for me, that's a healthy relationship, mm-hmm. but a relationship where I cannot address things. And then I just have to be like, oh, okay. That to me is unhealthy. And that's one of our issues that we cannot come to terms with.
So there's this book I really recommend. It's
called Do I Have That Book?
You have it? It's by Harville Hendrick.
Wait, let me go check. Let me go check. Because I got to make sure.
Imago.
Okay, so I don't have it. I have to write this down.
Yeah, I will send it to you. So this, out of all, there's many different kinds of marriage counseling. The reason why I really recommended this is I really find this one worked the best. At the end of the day, it's all communication. And despite the culture that everyone comes from, just growing up in two different households, we already come from different backgrounds, right? We have different paradigms. Paradigm is something that Bob says a lot too. It's a multitude of habits and ideal that formed us for who we are. And if you want to change the results, we got to change the paradigm. And this technique, it does require patience, but it is effective in the sense that we all want to get heard. So there is actually a whole script on how to communicate in here. So when you get, if the husband's on board, you know, obviously both have to be on board, right. Then you start, you know, it talks about giving respect for each other, how we invite each other to each other's world and to see what they're seeing from that lens and communicating in a way of your feelings, why you feel this way, because usually it's tied to our childhood. So I highly recommend it. He doesn't have any podcasts, but you could find some online where he is being interviewed. You know, even his story, Dr. Hendrick, is pretty amazing because he was a marriage therapist. He was just a therapist. He went through his divorce and he said that day on his divorce, if I recall correctly, he had to go back to school to teach a class on marriage and family, right? And then when he was getting to his second marriage, they almost got a divorce too. And they're two marriage counselors then. Yeah. But then they're like, you know, Harville Hendricks, he was just like, you know, how could two very smart and good people, how can they be together and not get along? So he made it his life goal to figure it out. And him and his wife, I heard both of their stories on a podcast. Because again, I was determined to fix my marriage at the time. And she said they were at the point where they were at the courthouse to sign the dot. Like they told their community. They fired their marriage counseling and they got fired because they were difficult because they're counselors. they went through everything, and then they finally was like, let's try to make this work. Because what they found was one time they were yelling at each other, fighting, but what they realized is no one's hearing each other. So they came up with this, and now they're in like a very beautiful marriage. His wife even says, you know, she married the man of her dreams. And they have, there's also certified Imago marriage certified therapists out there. You can find two. Yeah, they have an all over America. They teach us all around the world. So I highly recommend it. Like I am prepping for my next marriage. I'm not engaged.
Yes.
I know I'm going to be a good wife, and I know family's going to come, and I know everything happens for a reason, and I know I made those mistakes for a good reason, and I am making the same mistake again.
So I love that.
Yeah.
I love that how you're taking ownership, accountability, mm-hmm. and working on yourself, correcting yourself versus staying bitter. Because a lot of times, you know, my show is mainly the base of it, the foundation is to empower motherless daughters that have had issues, whether it's non-existent or toxic relationship with their mothers, or even ones that didn't have a mommy figure at all, you know. Yeah. So that's my base. And a lot of times people dwell on the things that they didn't have and the things that was not given to them. And I'm trying to empower them, said, it wasn't given to you, but guess what? You can give it to yourself, because I didn't have a lot of things. And it was at the age of 33 mm-hmm. that I decided I'm tired of this life.
Love it.
Life sucks because you're constantly in pain. You're constantly hurting. You are just, you don't know who you are. It's just awful. So why would I want that life? And I looked, I said, I have to do something about my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be bitter. I am so terrified of people that are bitter. I don't want them around me. They're like, they terrify me, because you can see them. They soak in misery. And even when something beautiful is in front of them, they can barely see it.
Yes.
And I don't want to, I want to experience the beautiful things. I don't want to be bitter. Please stop. As a nurse, I see it.
Yes.
Drive me crazy. Why are you so mad? Why are you so bitter?
I know.
And people might say, well, you don't know what happened to me. I tell them, listen, I've been abandoned. I've been rejected. I've been molested. Honey, we can go on and on and on. But I decided I'm going to take control of my life. I'm not going to allow the people that molested me. They're not thinking about me. They don't even remember me.
Yeah.
Because they probably did it to so many girls.
I share the same experience with you. So I know, oh my gosh, I think your universe or God, whatever you believe in, put us together for a really good reason. I was looking on my phone because I was trying to find a book that I want to send you on. It's basically, I got on Amazon, and it's basically, for the daughters that didn't get them, that had mommy issues. Let's put it that way. I'll send the book name to you after. Okay. It's my Amazon. It's in my story. So I would pull it up right now. But, because, you know, like we all get affected by not having either one or another mm-hmm. parent. Everyone has a different story. And for me, is I didn't have a dad, but my mom was just completely not there when I was grown up. So that's why, like, I think I followed you on Instagram, or because I resonate with that. And I didn't realize, I always thought I had a daddy issue, because that's what I was told by, like, when I go on dates when I was in my 20s. Oh, you have daddy issues because you didn't have a dad. So I was like, oh, I have daddy issues. And my therapist was like, no, you don't have daddy issues. You just never had it. You have mommy issues. That's what you have.
What?
That's why I got that. Yeah, because I have daddy issues in the sense that I have abandonment issues because my dad just left and we had a really good relationship. But I have mommy issue because I was very affected by her. She was in a lot of fear. And I think because of her, I had a lot of trauma, right? Like when we were growing up, we were very poor once my dad left. So we were living in a motel in the States. We were on food stamps. So I've experienced all that. That's why that was the biggest fear for me to leave my marriage, because it was a marriage that should have ended way long ago. Everyone told me, but I couldn't it's hard because of the my childhood, you know, but I am not my mom, so I can do it. So it's setting up that new goal. And I agree with you 100% on the energy, because I used to be that person. I used to be that person that victimizes myself and feel like, you know, like when I hear other people complain, I was like, that's nothing. You don't know the shit that I went through. You know, I used to think like the world is against me, but now it's like, no, that the world happens for me. And I got to the point, the reason why I transitioned my whole career, I got unstuck and transitioned my whole career into, you know, into a way to motivational speaking, teaching, coaching, is because I refused to let the negative nuances in my life. I was like, how do I turn this around? How do I turn this around and make it positive? And the best way for me that worked for me was storytelling, to storytell what happened to me, because everyone can relate. The problem with the society is like people don't want to get nosy when you're just showing support. You know what I mean, girl? Mm-hmm. I can see it in your facial. You know what I mean? When someone is sad, give them a call. Like recently I was speaking to a friend. We have a new mutual friend. Let's say the mutual friend's name is Tony, and then my friend's name is Eric. Tony is going through a very tough time in his life, right? It's his personal, so I don't want to say too much on air. But Eric was like, oh yeah, he texted me saying that he's not good. I don't know if I should call him. I don't want to be nosy. And I go, no,
no.
He needs your support. If he doesn't tell you details, it's all good. Just call him and check up on him, because I know he's going through the darkest moment in his life right now. You know?
I just wish people would understand that. And I keep trying to tell people, you know, I feel like I need to do a PSA and tell people, I am not that strong. I need your support. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people feel like they can only support you when you divulge everything that you're going through. Sometimes you just being present is needed. Maybe bringing me a cup of soup, you know, like for me, and as an African-American girl, I, you know, a lot of times people are like, you're so strong. And I'm like, if you don't stop telling me that, I am not that strong. I need support. I need your help. I can't do this by myself. So guess what? I seek support somewhere else. A lot of my friends, because they don't understand, and the ones that do, you know, they're just like, well, why are you talking about it? You know, or some of them would be like, well, you know, we all, our moms were not that great. I'm like, we're talking about two different things here. My mom was emotionally unavailable. Mm-hmm. And when she was available, she was very toxic. She was very mean. She was very cruel. So having a mom tell you that she didn't want you, honey, that is trauma by itself, because I'm a kid. So don't tell me something like, oh, we are all the same, because we are not all the same. And our mothers are not all the same, because you still have a healthy relationship with your mother. Guess what? I don't. So it's like they kind of minimize. And this is why I'm trying to give voice to the voiceless. Like, stop minimizing people's trauma. And that's what people do all the time, you know? Call a friend. Your friend is not okay. You don't have to know exactly what's going on. Maybe they're just not in a space to talk. Give them a call. Hey, girl, I know you're going through a lot, but I'm just calling to check on you. If you need anything, let me know.
But there are those that I haven't spoke to for 20 years, like high school friends, or people just pop back into my life. And I say this all the time, that I literally feel like they saved my life, because when I was at my lows, I literally feel like I was gonna die every day. You know, do you know how the mind works? Subconscious mind. And so our mind, we have the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, right? The conscious mind is the intelligent intellects, the thinkings that you can reject or accept an idea, right? That's where all the idea form. Subconscious mind is where all the emotion and the beliefs are. When we make a decision, when we take an action, 96-98% comes from our subconscious mind.
But a lot of times people don't know how to accept me for who I am. I don't try to tell people how to live their life, how to be, how to do. But I don't know why, if it's because I invited that at an earlier age in my life, like in my 20s, where people just feel like they can dictate how I should live my life.
I used to feel very vulnerable when I get rejected. Now I just push through it, because what happened is when you're so focused on a vision and a goal, that is, you're so emotionally involved, you will do whatever it takes to get there.
All right, everyone. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. If you love this episode, please, please, please share it with someone in need of healing. Share it on all social media platforms or just plain old text messages, okay? Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook support group page, and subscribe to the YouTube channel at The Zainab Knuth Show. Thank you for all the love and support. Until next time, be so good, be so kind, be so patient, and be so loving to yourself.